Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 14th of August, recording at 7:02 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights for the day to date, and of course, Wall Street has almost 2 hours to go. But the Asian stock markets were, well, quiet to mostly steady in here today, and those amazing Chinese A shares continued their march into new all-time high ground. The European markets were a little down to a little up, but then got hit by weakness on Wall Street as the Dow sold off, really on comments. Well, probably a number of factors, including the subprime hangover, but the announcement that may have stirred it up the most was from Walmart, saying that they expected the subprime problems to hit consumer spending. Well, that's not hugely surprising, is it? So we've got Wall Street down 170 on the Dow as I speak right now. The bond prices, government bond prices, are all firmer today against that background, as you would expect. And the US dollar, which had pushed above its high of a couple of weeks earlier yesterday, has extended that move above the 81 level on the US dollar index. It's currently at 81.370. And for instance, the euro slipped to 135.37. The dollar's up against the Swissie to 121.13. The dollar is down against the yen, however, to 117.70 here. And in terms of influences on the commodity markets, I'm just looking at the oil price, which is up in here today. Now, this tends to whip all over the place, but it's currently up 32 cents at 71.94. Gold is down $1.25 at 68.25 on the bullion, 668 on the bullion price. Platinum down $10, silver down 13 cents as I speak. And the industrial metals are down slightly. Softs are mostly a little bit easier in here. But what we also see is those wheat prices pushing ahead again a little more strongly. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, we're still in this medium-term correction, as I have labeled it. And we had that period of ranging where lows were holding, but those lows are being severely pressured and probably giving way in here in a number of instances in Europe and also the USA markets. And the weakness is being led still by the financial shares. Now, that's an important key to all of this, because I maintain that, I've maintained all along for years and years, that what's good for the banks is good for the rest of the markets, and what's bad for the banks is also bad for the rest of the market. Now, there are degrees, of course. We're seeing what could only be described as a bear market in Western banking shares and also Japanese banking shares. Hopefully, this will not lead to more than a correction, as I expect, for the rest of the markets in those countries. And then when you look at Asia, you say, what correction for most of the stock markets out there? They have seen modest reactions at worst, and some of them haven't even blinked. So it is very much a pick your sector here overall. Now, there is the Wall Street leash effect and the contagion risk, and the Wall Street leash effect is still a big influence, but it's not as strong as it was vis-a-vis the Asian markets. It certainly is as far as Europe is concerned, but not really regarding Asia. If you do get a strong sell-off on Wall Street, that will hit most of Asia because America, not least because American investors have plenty of holdings in those markets, and there's a temptation to sell the good stuff as well as the bad stuff, or still what's still performing when they see other things moving down strongly. But you see the way the Chinese A shares, all those mainland Chinese indices, have completely uncoupled from Wall Street, and I think that that is a secular trend that that is developing. We have two leash effects here now. Wall Street, of course, still, and it will always be influential, but we also have China, which is coming on increasingly as a strong influence on regional markets, and I suspect eventually global markets. Of the two, the Wall Street leash effect is still more important at this stage, but it's again, I think I suspect that it will gradually, over a period of many years, lose influence to that China leash effect. And that would make sense given the size of the population, given the comparative rates of GDP growth. And there's little doubt in my mind that the best investment region, best in terms of potential and I think also in terms of safety, is Asia. Whereas sadly, the US is still high risk. We've been reminded of that repeatedly in recent years, have we not? And that doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of US companies that will do exceptionally well. But I suspect that the best or the safest of those US companies that are going to do exceptionally well will be the big multinationals that have growing businesses in the Asian region and, of course, in the rest of the developing world. And then there are the resources plays, and that remains a hugely strong theme. And I suspect that that will continue to be the case for a very long time. So, again, when we go back to that BRICS theme, which has been around with us for several years, but it is an awfully good theme because it combines these large population countries with both the developing countries with both the resources plays and the Asian-led global infrastructure story. And that's where I wish to remain overweight. And if my investments in those markets get pulled down during the duration of this subprime crisis, when I get back from holiday, I will almost certainly be adding to those positions at some point during the second half of September or the fourth quarter of this year. Now, in terms of long-dated, well, just one last word on that is that as of this point, I don't see the evidence that that we have actually seen the lows for this correction where it is occurring. And again, I emphasize that because I said earlier on that some markets, particularly in Asia, haven't even blinked or have only blinked slightly here. So, what would we want to see? Well, to indicate that, for instance, Wall Street and the European markets had turned a better performance by the banking shares. We had those key day reversals last week, and followed by two more good days of rallies, but they didn't hold. So we're looking for additional evidence of stability and support building in these markets. That will probably take a little bit of time. And what I would also mention, though, and I commented on it in an email and illustrated it here today, is that it's going to be very easy to get too bearish in here. We can expect sentiment to go on deteriorating with each down day here in these markets. That's the nature of the beast. But watch those VIX indices in particular, and there are now three of them in the chart library, because I think that they will be a very good guide once again as to when we are in a stock market bottom zone. Basically, spikes in the VIX have coincided with all the important bottoms, and I'm talking about literally all of them. You never know quite how far the VIX is going to spike. It's already gone further than we've seen at any time since this 4-year bull run commenced, and that suggests to me that that the level of fear is higher, that this is a more serious correction than we saw, say, in 2006. And that's not all that surprising at this stage either, because the other corrections that we have seen, as I've mentioned before, came from overextensions on the upside, temporary overextensions, which were then corrected. And this one started from an overextension on the upside as well, but then we do have the real fundamental problem of the subprime-related related loans. Okay, long data, but again, looking at those VIX indices, that suggests to me that we have entered the end game. It may be a painful end game. Usually these things tend to end fairly quickly. That would be nice. But whatever, it's going to do what it's going to do. But watch those VIX indices, because they are saying that we are well on the way to an important bottom in here for the stock markets that are getting hit so hard. Now, long-dated government bonds, they are going to take their cue, as we've seen in recent weeks, from global stock markets. So today they're acting as a safe haven, but you saw when we had that 3-day rally last at the beginning of last week that the bond prices came off really quite sharply. When we get a bigger spike in the VIX index and some more climactic and behavioral action indicating that stock markets have bottomed, when stocks become a buy again, then we will also be able to say that bonds have become a short-selling opportunity once again. Now, looking at the U.S. dollar, it does have a reputation for rallying more often than not when investors are raising liquidity, and it is fulfilling that role in here right now. Having taken out the high that we saw, I think it was about a couple of weeks ago, this can go a little bit further in here, but basically a soft dollar is one of the platforms for U.S. economic expansion here, and I doubt we will see anything beyond a temporary short covering rally in the U.S. dollar. The hard currencies over the very long term, I maintain, are going to be the Asian sector, in particular, with the renminbi very much controlled, of course. It's not going to be a free-floating currency for quite some time, but it is certainly cheap and appreciating, and I expect it to go on appreciating for many, many years. And in terms of the precious metals, interesting email on precious metals and the mining shares in here today. We are still in what I believe is the latter stage of this very lengthy medium-term consolidation, which followed the big spike upwards that peaked in May of 2006. The pattern that we can see on the charts today for the gold mining shares and also bullion suggests that we will see another decent upside move over the medium term. I suspect it'll start sometime in the fourth quarter of this year, possibly sooner. Now, why will that take place? Is that just the triumph of hope over experience? Well, one good reason why it will take place is that when we have a tumultuous period in markets, where one favorite area gets hit really quite hard. That does lead to reassessments. We're getting reassessments regarding hedge funds. I maintain that the high water mark for hedge funds was reached with the Amaranth failure. And we also had the infatuation with investment banks. That's likely to be over for really quite some time, I would suggest. So, excuse me, against that background, it would not be at all surprising if people looked on gold in a new light. In not today, probably not this month, but in the months to come. As something that has lagged here, and also that does represent some quite reasonable value, and will look less risky than some of the other assets that doesn't that haven't done quite that aren't doing quite so well at the moment. And soft commodities, the reports that I'm getting, and I think Owen will have more to say on this with some information that's just starting to come in, suggests that we may see a bit of a squeeze on some of these grains. The one that could do the most on the upside, or the one that's in form, I should say, in here right now, is wheat. Crude oil, expect a bit further ranging, really, I think, in this sort of $70 to $80 range. I don't think it'll go a whole lot lower than $70. And then we look for a resumption of the secular bull market. Ditto on the industrial metals, which have very different trends overall. People are turning bearish on nickel right now. I maintain that nickel is nearly has nearly completed its medium-term correction, having almost halved in price. And this whole sector remains in a secular bull run. Well, I think that's pretty much it. I don't like going away when markets are in turmoil, but at least we've been able to assess developments to date. And in the context of heading probably towards a meaningful buying opportunity ending in the next few weeks, certainly within the next couple of months, I would say. And I know it's never comfortable when you're watching a drawdown on an investment portfolio in a scary market environment. I hope you have some cash. I do. I'm looking forward to putting that cash to work in markets come the fourth quarter of this year. And so I'll just say all the very best. Take care. And I look forward to being back after my holiday. Okay, bye-bye.